When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live on Sports Grid with Game Time Decisions. It is a Thursday night. I'm Kevin Walsh with you for the next 2 hours, talking about tonight's slate, NBA, NHL, and some college basketball. Only one ranked team in action, but also an eye towards the weekend and the fallout for many of the big news, including the National Football League with the NFC South solidifying some of their head coaches here. We begin with the latest news out of Atlanta, the Falcons hiring Rams defensive coordinator Raheem Morris. And with respect to Raheem Morris, he's not even really the story here. It's that the Falcons seemingly were going to be the landing spot for legendary head coach Bill Belichick. You look around and where is Bill supposed to land? Seattle is still open. There has not been many connections to that job, though. This is an odd spot now that Bill Belichick finds himself in. Are there potential job openings that could still come free? We know Sirianni is going to be back in Philadelphia. Is there a world the Bills move on from Sean McDermott? It feels unlikely. It appears Bill Belichick will be left out of this head coaching cycle here. Maybe takes a job as a coordinator. Feels like he'll find work as a commentator. And then, I guess, assess again. But you have to wonder if Bill Belichick has coached his last game in the NFL. Joining Raheem Morris in the NFC South. Well, somebody already familiar with the NFC South. That is Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive coordinator, now Carolina Panthers head coach Dave Canellis. Canellis, with what he was able to do for Baker Mayfield, gets this job here in the hopes that he can do the same for Bryce Young, who needs it in a big way. This Carolina season was disastrous. Dave Canellis should have a lot of leeway here. Cannot be worse, you would think, than what we saw this past season. Our radio audience is live. Appreciate all those with us here on Sports Grid, including SiriusXM, Channel 159. It's Kevin Walsh, Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid. These two big names go down, but the biggest head coaching news in the last 24 hours is Jim Harbaugh, the head coach for the Los Angeles Chargers, as the Michigan Wolverines head coach goes back to the NFL. The last time we saw Jim in the National Football League was with the San Francisco 49ers. Only four seasons, but three of those incredibly fruitful. Appeared in a Super Bowl, multiple conference championships along the way. We know the success he had with Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick. Now the hope is that Harbaugh can have that same success here with Justin Herbert. If you look at the statistics throughout Jim Harbaugh's career, he has been successful everywhere. And again, 118-46 in college, 44-19-1 in the National Football League. Again, all 44 wins coming with San Francisco. The college career spanning, of course, everybody remembers the days at Stanford with Andrew Luck. So Harbaugh, no stranger to high-level quarterback play like he is expected to receive this year from Justin Herbert. The fallout, though, from this is not just Chargers-based. I'm curious to see where these Chargers futures markets will reopen at. I wonder if, and at first glance, I was thinking maybe too many people are scared off by the Chargers and you can get some value. I wonder if this is a scenario where Harbaugh is such a great hire. The Chargers remain very strongly booked, expected to make the postseason inside the top 7 or 8 there in the conference. That feels more likely. But it is not just the NFL that sees the impact of this decision. Of course, the college football landscape here. The Michigan Wolverines are the defending champs. Every expectation is that Sharon Moore will be stepping in, who was the head coach for a number of games this year already for Michigan due to the various Harbaugh suspensions that we saw. The Michigan Wolverines are 14-1 to win the national championship. And this is a number that has only dropped since their season ended. It was very curious, it felt, at the beginning of these markets opening to not see Michigan higher up the board. And it was for a reason. No J.J. McCarthy, no Harbaugh. Two guys that people thought had a chance to come back to the college game will not. Instead, it is their rival at 5-1 Ohio State, who started to have a very nice offseason here. And the hope is that Will Howard and the Buckeyes can find some success in Columbus. We'll see if that holds true. Let's peel back out, go over to the NBA here tonight. Interesting slate of games. Eastern Conference heavy in the mix. The Philadelphia 76ers go to the Indiana Pacers. Still looking for their first win without Pascal. Could be a tough task to find tonight, having to play host to the 76ers. The Knicks host the Denver Nuggets at home. Knicks, a slight dog. We've got Boston, Miami, which always feels like a big one in the Eastern Conference. You look at the Eastern Conference outright markets right now, and Boston, of course, remains the favorite. Milwaukee, with their first game without, of course, Adrian Griffin. Still no Doc Rivers just yet, but they did a nice job in that game covering and beating the Cleveland Cavaliers. Interesting to see what we get out of Miami tonight, though. Very disappointing performance, laying double digits against Memphis. They lost at home. They run it back tonight against Boston at home, catching 8 points. What do we see from Terry Rozier in his second game as a member of Miami Heat? I'm waiting to see his props. Anxiously. I think we're going to have to wait for the Heat starting lineup before we get those. The hope for me is he stays on the bench, actually. He'll get about 30-plus minutes. We'll go over that when we get towards the card, so do not worry there. We continue to shift this along, I believe, over to the women's college game, which is tonight going to be featuring a top matchup between South Carolina and LSU. And for South Carolina, this is the number one team in college basketball, unbeaten again for this team here throughout a chunk of the season. But look at that number. -400 to win this basketball game at LSU. At LSU. 7.5-point line. Kim Mulkey, who is the LSU head coach, has only lost once at home in her 3 seasons with the Tigers. It was to Dawn Staley's group, though. Back in 2021, it was her first year there. Here's the interesting thing. That game was only a 6-point win towards South Carolina. I would think most people would say that was a better South Carolina team than Aaliyah Boston, right? This LSU group has far more expectations than that group of ladies back in 2021 did for LSU. So seeing 7.5 tonight, it feels very strong. And it almost suggests that there should be a bigger gap in this futures market here between these two teams. You go to their building and lay 7.5 points. I mean, that means that if these two teams were to meet in a national championship, you're talking double digits once you remove home court advantage. If South Carolina is 10 points better than every single team in college basketball, you would imagine the market puts LSU as the second best team, considering they're second here in the outright market. If that is the case, then +250 is probably value, something to consider. We'll talk with Coach Jim.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Young about this in a minute. Sticking with the college game, though, for a quick pick. Late night, Arizona goes to Oregon State. The Beavers will be a home dog for the fourth time this year. First three times all of these games have played towards the over. We have seen Oregon State's offense step up in this spot. Never their defense. Top offenses like Baylor and Nebraska ran through this team like a knife through butter. Arizona will do the same. Coach James Young steps up next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's make it happen. We're live with you here on a Thursday night. Kevin Walsh joined by Coach James Young as we get set for a ton of hoops tonight. JY, how you feeling?
Man, you know how it is. It's Thursday night. We got some big NBA games, big games in the Eastern Conference. Not a ton of college basketball, but you mentioned a really big game in a women's game. Hey, if there are lines, we got to talk about it.
JY, we will. I want to go through the NBA first, and then we can kind of peel back a little bit and get into that big game tonight there featuring the top two odds to win the national championship on the women's side of it, though. We'll begin in Indiana, though, where we are seeing something in lockstep here. You're on the Sixers. Tell me why.
Well, I just think, you know, if you look at a team like Indiana, they haven't played particularly well since the trade of Pascal Siakam. They're trying to find their way. I think they lost four of the last five. And I just look at a Philadelphia team that's really playing well, and they should be smelling blood right now because, Caleb, I'm starting to believe that this team could get all the way to the NBA Finals. I think the improvement of the coaching staff, Nick Nurse, the play of Embiid, the overall elevation of Maxey's game, no distraction of James Harden. I think this is a really tough spot for an Indiana team without Haliburton tonight. So I think this is a good spot for Philadelphia. I know it's 5 points on the road. I'm going to take the Sixers. I think they beat them, and I think they beat them pretty good.
I'm also on the Sixers here. Look, I'm a little bit hesitant because of how this start for Indiana has gone since adding Pascal. They're not going to lose out, obviously. You look at the three games that they've played with him. At Portland was the second leg of a back-to-back. This Pacers team has been atrocious in that spot. At Phoenix was without Haliburton, making that a tougher task. And then home against Denver. Well, you're also without Haliburton. That's a top team in the league. My thought here with the Indiana Pacers is we get another opportunity to fade this team with the Sixers. Look, they're 8-4 against the number as a road favorite. They've been excellent in this spot. They are playing great basketball. There's going to come a point to buy on Indy. After this, they're going to play a back-to-back at home against Phoenix. I don't think that's it. But then home against Memphis, circle that Sunday 3:30 spot. That could be a spot where you might see Indy losers of every game since Pascal joined, maybe only laying. Could we get it at three, maybe, against Memphis? Something to look ahead towards. I think that would be interesting. What are you doing prop-wise in the game, JY?
Well, you know, when you look at this game, I'm going to go to Miles Turner. Miles Turner over 6.5 rebounds, plus money on FanDuel. This is a situation where Miles Turner averages 7.1 rebounds per game. And this, he's got to – when you look at his minutes, if he gets 30-plus minutes this year, I think he's 12 out of 15 over 6.5 rebounds. So he stays out of foul trouble. He's got to guard Embiid. Yes, Embiid gives him problems. But that's a low – I don't want to call it a low-hanging fruit. I was actually shocked that I saw that Miles Turner is only getting 7.1 rebounds per game. Like, this is one of the top centers and rebounders in the league. I think we're catching it light. I think he's got a board tonight to keep this game close. I think Siakam helps him defensively a little bit. So I'm going to go with Miles Turner over 6.5 rebounds on FanDuel at plus money.
One thing I want to mention in this game is one of the more stunning props I've seen this season, and it's a number that I'm not really having any success figuring out. and it is the Tyrese Maxey points prop posted at 29.5. I have no idea why that is the number. I mean, Maxey averages 26 a game, averages 26 a game with Embiid, 32 games this year besides Joel. He has only hit this, a 30-plus performance, 8 times. You might say, oh, but it's Indiana. Yeah, but I learned that lesson the hard way. The Pacers games don't look the same without Tyrese. They don't get into the 250s without Tyrese. Oh, but Maxey scored 50 against them. That's right. And then the second game, he scored 27. Like, I understand if you want to elevate it a little bit, but I got to be honest. I'm scared off. I can't figure this number out. I started this game thinking Maxey could play well, and maybe just so many people thought the same that this number got pushed up to the moon. By the way, Embiid tonight, highest number we've seen all season, 37.5. Also, before I forget, even though we might, maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow, Sixers Nuggets run it back, JY, this weekend. So, if Embiid goes to Denver, we get minus money for the first time all year on the MVP. I don't know what happens if Denver takes down Philly, though, in that game.
Well, you know, listen, I think people are – reason why people are liking maybe Indiana plus the points is they're thinking that this is going to be a spot where Philadelphia almost looks ahead, Kevin, right? Looks ahead of the game and the matchup. And it'll be a fascinating matchup. By the way, Kevin, we talked this. Can they guard each other this weekend? I mean, can they guard each other? I mean, just give us, like, a quick game of, like, 101, first guy to 5 wins. But I think a fascinating matchup this weekend and a rematch between those two. Remember, last year, I think Embiid beat him up in Philly. Then he was hurt for the game in Denver, so people were talking about that. I think JoJo's going to go make a point. And I think, Kevin, if he goes to Denver and outplays him, I think, Kevin, he shuts down the MVP voting. So if you think you want to take JoJo, it may move again after this performance this weekend. So jump on him now because I think he's going to go off again this weekend.
Let's handle the game with the Knicks. They're going to host Denver. JY, are you surprised to see the Nuggets favored at the Garden tonight?
No, because if anybody knows, the Knicks are 19-0 against teams under 500. They don't beat great teams. Like, so this is where, as a Knicks fan, like, I'm a little nervous here. Now, listen, are they playing better? Yes. Has the trade of OG Anunoby invigorated the team? Yes. But to me, as a Knicks fan, I need to see tonight. I forget, like, coming back and stealing a game against Brooklyn. Brooklyn stinks. I don't care about RJ Barrett and Emmanuel quickly coming back on over the weekend. This is the measuring stick game for the Knicks. And to me, if they're going to win it, they're going to win it on the defensive end. So what I'm doing is, and I don't do this like KW, you know me, I'm going OG Anunoby stocks over 2.5. I saw it on plus money, I do believe on DraftKings. 6 out of his last 7 games, he's gone over this. They defend like crazy New York. And if New York's going to win this game, it's going to be a half-court game. I think he finds a way to get a block, and he definitely gets a couple of steals. OG Anunoby, stocks over 2.5 on DraftKings, plus money.
All right, little OG. I like this spot, JY, for the Knicks. I do. They're 2-1-1 against the number this year, booked as a home dog. You got to remember, look, this Denver team is not brilliant in their own rights against, I mean, look, 11-10 against teams above 500 is obviously much better than that Knicks 7-16 record. But I'm just talking about home road splits. We've not seen Denver be the same team away from home. And I know relative to the NBA, 14-10 is great, but at home is where they separate. It's where they separated in the postseason there. I think the Knicks can come out and win this game. I think to some degree, we kind of need to see that performance from the Knicks, right? Think about the step-up spot that they had since the addition of OG Anunoby. I mean, they absolutely thrashed the Philadelphia 76ers on the road. It might have not been the greatest schedule spot we've ever seen for Philly, but we still saw the Knicks handle their business. So I think this could be a decent spot, JY, for the Knicks tonight, because this is a team, despite what the market thinks, I think their moves and the conversation around them, this is not a team that's going to be happy to be in the playoffs. And it's not going to be a team that's just happy to make it to the second round. This is a team that believes they can get to a conference finals this season.
And I think it could based on the matchup. So, and I'll say it like this. If New York goes out and gets blown out, it's going to be same old Knicks. If the Knicks, you know, lose a tight one at the buzzer, it's going to be intriguing. But if New York can go ahead and win at home tonight versus Denver, now you start to talk about, whoa, maybe this team is for real, because their step-up spot, the schedule starts to get tougher. Big spot. But like I said, Kevin, I think this is going to be a half-court, grinded-out game. That's the way Tibbs is going to want to play it.
All right, we're taking a break here on Game Time Decisions. When we come back, still a lot to get to. Plenty of NBA, and we go to what is so far the women's college game of the year, South Carolina and LSU.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live with you here. It is Kevin Walsh on Game Time Decisions. I want to go through some of the NBA still with Coach. We'll do that in a moment. But allow me to let you know where the lines sit for this LSU-South Carolina game. So we have right now open side total money line and an Angel Reese player prop. Angel Reese booked at 18.5 points. Obviously the star of this game, one of the biggest stars, probably the second in women's college basketball with Caitlin Clark being the premier player. You have a 151.5, 150.5 total, 7.5 point spread for South Carolina at LSU. Mulkey has only lost once at home since joining LSU. It was to Staley and South Carolina, but it was by 6. Different teams, different expectations. It makes for an interesting spot. Here's the thing. I don't want to force a play in this game. I have something that I really like. It's just we are not at the point yet where we have enough numbers. It is something where I was actually, this is going to sound like a joke. It's not a joke. I was betting a lot of the women's NCAA tournament. When we start to get to there, we get more options. I just want the South Carolina women's team total to play it over. This LSU defense is not the same caliber as South Carolina's. If LSU, the number one scoring offense in the women's college game, gets right, then this game will get over the number. But South Carolina's going to get theirs, I think, absolutely regardless. Look, it is a big number to be laying here at LSU. I do have some hesitations about the fact that if we did, you know, home field or home court math, this is 12 potentially. If South Carolina's home, it feels like a ton. But this LSU team has flaws. Not only do they lose that opening game we saw to Colorado, but that loss at Auburn, I think, looms large here with this line. This is a spot for me. I keep going back and forth. If I had to, it's probably South Carolina and the over. I wish I could get access to a South Carolina women's team total. I can't. Coach, LSU, South Carolina, what are you looking for here tonight?
Well, obviously, the play of South Carolina has been fantastic. And Kevin, they've been blowing teams out, scoring at about 91 points per game. But the thing you like about the South Carolina team, and talking to a good friend of mine that's really connected with USA Basketball, he mentions the depth and the fact that they are playing well together. You know, you got 7 girls that do getting between 9 points a game and up. Obviously, Papal, the transfer from Texas, has been absolutely fantastic, shooting the ball at 55.8% from 3. So you get that with Cardozo, the big girl inside, should be one of the top 5 picks in the NBA draft. And this team just plays well. And here's the thing. When you look at South Carolina, they grind you down defensively. Think about the last couple of games they've given up. 64 to Texas A&M, 36 to Kentucky, 57 to Missouri, 66 to Mississippi State, 66 to Florida. They beat you down. And I would say this, folks. The one thing they do is they defend and they take away your best option. I don't think Angel Reese is getting to over 18.5 points. She's scoring 19.1 points per game. The size of Cardozo inside is going to make it hard for Angel Reese to score around the basket. She doesn't have that perimeter game. So I think, if anything, Angel Reese goes under her point prop. And then obviously South Carolina laying the points on the road gets a double-digit win.
You can get Reese at 19.5 if you look around. I will also say one of the interesting things is at this moment, It looks like a down year for the SEC overall for women's college hoops. These are the only two teams ranked right now from the conference. No Tennessee. We've seen Kentucky have good years, Miss State. None of that right now from the conference. So the sample size isn't as big from seeing these girls in step-up spots. Because, look, the reality is nobody cares what LSU did against Niagara. Nobody cares what South Carolina did against Bowling Green. It's irrelevant, right? I mean, these are such mismatches. But for South Carolina this year, four ranked teams, they went to Paris, beat up on Notre Dame. They hosted Maryland. The problem is that Maryland team's no longer ranked. It's down here there. They played Utah on a neutral, handled their business, but it was only by 8. Went to North Carolina, handled their business, but it was only by 7. But again, LSU's ranked games. Game 1, they get stunned by Colorado, who has ended up obviously being much better than the preseason expectations. And then they beat up on Va Tech by 18. But that's all we have. And again, if you really want to qualify it, the only team LSU has played that you would even put in the conversation of South Carolina is Colorado. That game was Vegas. It was supposed to be this coronation for the defending champs and all their additions. And they were embarrassed in that game. So we'll see how it plays out tonight. I'm looking forward to it, though, JY. Let's buggy back over to the NBA side of it here. And the Washington Wizards have made a coaching change. Interim head coach Keith steps in for Wes Unseld Jr. Do you think that impacts anything for them tonight?
Kevin, you were right about DeAndre Ayton, right? But there's another guy we've been trashing all year. I'm going back in. I'm back on a pool party tonight. I'm going Jordan Poole over 16.5 points tonight. Now, when you think about Jordan Poole, he's gone over 4 of the last 8 games, but the last 3 times versus Utah, he's gone over. And here's the thing. When you look at the matchup, well, who's Jordan Poole's going to be guarded by a lot in this game? It's probably going to be Jordan Clarkson. Well, Jordan Clarkson don't play no damn defense. So to me, this could be the spot where Poole gets busy. You've heard Katie, I read something today, how Katie talked about Brian Keefe, who is really well-connected and pretty good guy getting his first chance. Be interesting to see what goes on in Washington, folks, long-term, because Gafford can get moved. I know they'll try and trade Poole. Kuzma, if they get the right thing. Tyus Jones. So this could be, I'm going to say this, folks, this is the worst job in the NBA. Not because they're not just they're bad, but where is their young talent that you can build around? You thought it was Jordan Poole. It obviously hasn't been the case. But tonight, he goes over 16.5.
I like coming back to Poole. I mean, I haven't been trashing him all year. This is one of those things. I knew this was done about 5 games in. 5 games in, it was very clear this was somehow Kyle Kuzma's team, and they were not going to give the keys to Jordan Poole. And look, Jordan Poole has proven to be actively a bad NBA player. But the idea was volume. JY, his last 3 games from beyond the arc, 1-for-4, 1-for-4, 0-for-3. If you would have showed me that before the season started, I'd go, you mean to tell me 3 straight games he left injured? 3 straight games he fouled out? That would have been the only way you would have been able to tell me that guy went 3 straight games with 3, 4, and 4 attempts. I legitimately, you can tell me I'm crazy, I don't care. I thought he might break the record for most 3s attempted per game in NBA history.
Absolutely.
That's what I was expecting from Jordan Poole. That's never been what this has been going on in Washington. So, I mean, look, I get it, JY. You're right. It isn't the most attractive job in the world. But what you do have, there's nothing tying you down. There is not a single player on this roster, not Bilal Coulibaly, who they just drafted, not Poole, who they just traded for, not Kuzma, who they just paid, that you say, okay, I have to make sure I build around this. Yeah. So while that is tough that you don't have a guy, it is a blank canvas, man. Mm-hmm. It is an absolute blank canvas, and that's just the way it kind of goes. Let's keep moving here, JY. Minnesota goes to Brooklyn. What do you look for here?
I think Brooklyn's terrible. I mean, and here's the thing, folks. If the Nets are winning in the fourth quarter, go take the other team. Because the Nets find a way to play well. Like, Cam Johnson reminds me of the old Miami Dolphins with Dan Marino, when they would come out and he'd be so hot in the first half, and then you don't even know the guy's in the game. This is a spot where Minnesota, I know they're in a back-to-back. I know they just barely covered the spread, I think, by the hook last night. I like them minus the points. Nets are 2-7-1 against spread the last 10. I know. They're way better, Kevin. And I think that they get this job done. I think they went by 8-10. Give me the Timberwolves, minus the points on the road.
All right, let's keep it going here, JY. Late night, Sacramento and Golden State. What are you looking for?
I'm looking at Harrison Barnes over 10.5 points. I know, folks, he's only going over 2 of his last 8 games. But he was in a shooting slump, and he dropped 32 last game versus Atlanta. 7 out of his last 11, he's gone over versus Golden State. Both of those this year. And then you look at the game. When you have teams, Kevin, that have big emotional games, right, there's a propensity the next game to tail off. Well, they're at home on a back-to-back. I'm going to go ahead and take the Kings on the money line as a short favorite and take Harrison Barnes over 10.5 points tonight.
This is a spot. So we're going to get to my card in a minute, and I'll kind of explain it there because I want to get JY's picks. I know he's got to get moving. But this is a spot where I actually think the Warriors, unless you're fading the full back-to-back, have a lot of value. But we'll get into that in a minute here. JY, trusting Anthony Davis, good for you. I may never do it again. 2 free throws against that Clippers team, 0 fourth quarter points. He didn't shoot the basketball. I don't think he, maybe shot it once. People were defending. I don't even know what I was watching. What do you like from AD tonight?
That's why I'm not taking his points. I was thinking about his points, and he keeps getting around and not playing well. But rebounds, because he's going against Vucevic, over 12.5 rebounds, 3 of the last 6 games. But Kevin, the 3 games he's missed in the last 6, all by the hook. Going against Vucevic means he's got to rebound. I think he goes over 12.5 rebounds tonight.
All right, and then JY, you're going to the men's college side here tonight, fading maybe the worst team in college basketball.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it must be, something's going on in that city, K-Dub. You know what I'm saying? Detroit Pistons, Detroit Mercy. Oh, my mercy, go the other way. I'm taking minus the points. I just think this is a spot where they're just not playing very well. I'm going to go with Milwaukee minus 11.5.
Basketball, not so great. But football's been well. Lions,
my
Michigan
man,
Wolverines.
Anthony Fisher. My guy Fergster, backup tight end. I'm rooting for the Lions. By the way, I'm saying it right now. Lions plus the points. I'm calling it right now.
Thank you for that more than you could imagine. Talk to you, JY. I'll do the card next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh. It is a Thursday night. I'm going to go through my card. I want to start with the most ridiculous thing I've ever put on my card because it currently doesn't exist. Maybe it's wishful thinking. Miami Heat will not release their damn starting lineup. Terry Rozier in the debut had a 3-point prop of 1.5. All I need is for it to be the same. And I'm on it. Truly, it's my best bet of the night, as long as they post it again. He went 1-for-5 in the game. It was 1.5 and I think like minus 113. Terry Rozier, he's in a great spot. He's been awful for 4 games, dating back to Charlotte. He's 2-for-23 from 3 in his last 4 games. The 8 games prior, he was averaging 4.5 makes per game. I want the Rozier alts. If he enters the starting lineup and they put him at 1.5, double best bet. If they move it to 2.5, I want to see what his points prop is then. I really want to be involved with Terry Rozier. If at any point during this segment I just am completely not paying attention, even though it's only me by myself, it's because the Heat dropped the starting lineup, and I'm trying to find the Rozier props. Let's get into what is on the card tonight. That is going to be a bounce-back spot for Michael Porter Jr. Give me the over 14.5 points. So MPJ is coming off a single-digit game, 11th time this season. In the first 10 bounce-back spots, 7-3 to this over of 14.5. But there was also another level that I found here on this, which was really, really interesting. Because not only did MPJ only score single digits, but he shot under 30% from the field. So that kind of is a double really bad game, right? Because sometimes Michael Porter Jr. admittedly gets lost in this offense and doesn't have a lot of volume. He's had a game where he scored single digits and shot 50% from the field. 4 times this year, now this would be the 5th, but 4 times this year, he has played a game where the game before, single-digit scoring, less than 30% from the field, he's followed up with 24 points, 30 points, 17 points, and 20 points. I'm going to look for Porter Jr. tonight for 20-plus in Garden. Give me a bounce-back spot on Karl-Anthony Towns. Cat the other day went wild, 10-plus threes. What an awesome performance. Shout out Eric Collins, the GOAT. Cat, when he shoots under 30% from three in this month, the follow-up game, 3 out of 5, 1 out of 5, 3 of 9, a beautiful 3 for 3, and then that 10-for-15 game. But also what I noticed is the last two games now, Cat has had double-digit attempts from beyond the arc. Tough scene last game out, going 2 for 10, when the game prior it was 10-for-15. But I'm wondering if Cat is just going to go big volume now. Maybe not. Maybe, again, wishful thinking. But in Cat's career, 23 games with double-digit attempts from 3, 18, and 5 to the over of a would-be prop of 2.5. Even if we get 8, maybe we get 7, it's still going to be keeping us right in the mix. Give me Cat over the 2.5 made threes at plus money. Give me Steph Curry over the 4.5 made threes at plus money. Steph, this is a different kind of bounce back spot. I know this, and if you watch this show religiously, shout out you first of all. But second of all, bounce back spots are kind of always the key indicator, but they come in varying ways. So Steph is coming off of a game where he shot 5 of 8 from 3. That is excellent. So how would Steph qualify? Well, Steph's volume now is looking a bit short. If you take a look here, right, Steph, and I know there's a big gap in between, but Steph has now gone back-to-back games without double-digit attempts from three. He averages, obviously, over double digits on the season. Steph Curry, when coming off of 2 straight games without double-digit attempts, it's never happened 3 straight times, 7 of 14, 5 of 13, 6 of 11, and 6 of 15. Steph Curry tonight, at home, and I like this spot. We're going to talk about some spots in a minute here. I like this spot. At home, right, against Sacramento, who's a bit of a mini rivalry for this team now, all the motivation in the world, Draymond Green back in the lineup, tons of Steph volume here. And even if you say, well, maybe we can't bank on efficiency, I don't see any world where Steph doesn't shoot 10-plus threes in this game. On the year, 25 games with double-digit attempts from beyond the arc, 17-8 to the over on a 4.5 prop, and we're getting it at plus money. And in every single game this year against the Kings, he's shot in at least 10. Now, twice he's landed 4, which obviously would be tough to get hooked, but that just sounds like the Kings escaping. I really like Steph Curry tonight. Now, I didn't put these on the cards. I admittedly added these a little bit while we were talking with JY, because things kind of became clearer, and I promised one of them, while it is directly against coach's pick, it wasn't an anti-coach thing one bit, but I'm going to take the Warriors plus the 2. The Warriors are as close as it feels as possible to being fully healthy for the first time in a long time. If you look at last game, they had Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Looney, all available, Draymond off the bench, Jonathan Kuminga with a nutty 11 of 11 performance. They had their guys, Golden State. The Warriors, fully healthy, are one of the strongest booked teams in basketball. Pre all of this, the 5th game of the season, at home against Sacramento, they laid 7.5 in that game. So that's something. Now, I understand De'Aaron Fox didn't play, but how much is Fox worth to a point spread? 3? That gets us to 4.5. So it gives you an idea of where this number is and where this number should be. I get it's the second leg of a back-to-back. I think the Warriors have to be on a bit of a mission here. I know, obviously, everything with the passing of one of their assistants, people may feel like it, that to me is not really what it's about. It's more about this team finally getting Draymond Green back, this team getting him back as an 18-12 team, and needing to step up from now and moving forward. And they go here tonight at home against Sacramento, who they always step up against, home against the Lakers, home against the Sixers, at Memphis, at Atlanta, at Brooklyn. Let's stop right there. Stop right there. That is a 6-game run for this team with 3 more at home and then 3 on the road against teams well below 500. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be 7 straight for Golden State, but this team probably this has to be a 5-2 run. Just has to be. And that would get this team back to 500 if they go 5-2 with adding in the win that they just had and then 6 more coming. And I think they can do it. So look for Golden State here. I'm also going to take the Knicks here at plus 2.5. I like this spot for the Knicks. I think this Knicks team is significantly better since the trade because I think they believe they're better, and I think that goes a long way. I think Julius Randle and the basketball that he is playing right now, I know for Knicks fans it has to feel like that hot stove, but this is where you separate the regular season and the postseason. Is Julius Randle reliable in the postseason? History says no. Good thing it's January 25th and not April 25th. Randle's been awesome. Brunson's been great. OG's helped in the way that they needed him to. And this is still a Denver team that I'm not going to trust on the road. I understand they got the job done in Boston. That was a high-level step-up spot. This team's now peeled off three straight road victories here. I don't think they peeled it off again. The Knicks, to me, win this game outright, but I took these 2.5 points here with the New York Knicks, who are 2-1-1 against the number at home. A team that has struggled against the number at home is Miami as a home dog. But do we get it yet? No, we just got the Celtics starting lineup. But this is a lot of points for the Celtics to be laying. It really is. You know, the Celtics went to Houston, a couple days ago, and they got the job done, but they didn't cover. I did back Dallas against them. Ultimately, they did get the job done. Credit to them. But it was closer than I think maybe even that 9 points suggests. Mavs made some runs. But again, that's still a ton of points. That's consecutive wins of 9 by Boston. Tonight, they lay 8 to a rival like Miami, who the Heat are so capable of pulling performances out. I mean, this team's currently on a 4-game losing streak here. Is this bottom of the market on Miami? It feels like it could be. And I think it probably is. So if they insert Terry Rozier into this starting lineup that's never going to come out, well, it's going to be probably the best lineup they've sent out all year long. Jimmy steps up here. Bam steps up here. I think the Heat could very well strike the upset. I'm taking them +8 at home. The number I'm laying on the road is with the Philadelphia 76ers. And again, I am a touch worried about the notion of Philly. It's not even about Philly. It's just the Pacers are not going to lose every single game that they play. Obviously, this team made a trade to try to strengthen their roster. This line has worked against the 5, now down 4.5. I get it. But Denver laid 4.5 at Indiana. Philly's a better road team to me than the Denver Nuggets. 8-4 against the number of the Philadelphia 76ers when booked as a road favorite. Compare that to the Denver Nuggets this season, who have been nowhere near as profitable in that spot, 6-12-1. Philly's 8-4 is the road favorite. And these lines are basically now identical. I don't think that's appropriate. And I think Philly, again, to me, we've seen him step up on the road. They did it against Orlando. They've been brilliant on the road this year with Joel Embiid. I think this could be a bit of a steamroll spot here for the Philadelphia 76ers, and I'm going to trust that it is. Let's lay 5, down to 4.5, but let's lay it with Philly on the road. The NBA games I'm not involved with tonight. Utah, Washington, I do like JY's look on Jordan Poole. That is one of the most disappointing things about this team. And yes, it is disappointing from where my personal futures sit, but it is not. It is just Washington is completely uninspiring. And, you know, you peel back preseason, we knew teams would be bad, right? San Antonio, pretty obviously. But we saw a team like Washington, and we thought, you know, there's some pieces here in this starting lineup, right? Tyus Jones looks like he should be a starting point guard. Kyle Kuzma could give you, you know, on a semi-regular basis, right, 18-8-4. And does Jordan Poole step up? And it feels like at no point has anybody been put in a position to succeed. It's why I think they moved on, obviously, from Unseld Jr. here. And it's a lame duck season now for a while. I mean, they're 7-36. I mean, they could, you know, reincarnate Michael Jordan, get Phil Jackson to coach this team. They're not making the playoffs. It doesn't matter. Okay? I say it like Mike's, you know what I mean. The 95 Mike. It doesn't matter. It's not going to help. It's not going to help. This team's done and buried. But the world where Poole under a new setting wakes up, I could see that. And then late night Chicago, LA. Look, I am eternally going to be frustrated over the AD bet from the other night. The number's 27.5. It's 26 through 3. We don't get home. That's frustrating. What's even more frustrating is LeBron comes back and the prop is 26.5, which double confirms that it was the right look. The gap on an AD prop can't be 1 between whether LeBron is in or out. That number was completely mispriced against the Clippers. It's just AD let the books off the hook. JY goes back to him on the rebound side. I get it. I was a bit tempted by DeMar DeRozan. I know Pat Williams has himself a questionable tag. We don't have official word yet on if we're going to see him in this game. We will be looking to keep some tabs on that here. But this is a spot where the Lakers booked as a 5.5-point favorite. They are 16-8 at home straight up. But I'd probably trust the Bulls to find a way to keep this game close, just like they kept the game against the Phoenix Suns close. One last check before we hit the break. Miami Heat starting lineup, anybody? Nothing. Unbelievable. It's 7:30. 6:53. How are we supposed to get involved? How are we supposed to be in the mix? This Terry Rozier prop, I mean, and I've been getting, you know, texts on the segment. People are like, great idea. Terry Rozier, let's lock in. I haven't been getting those texts, but I should be. People aren't showing enough respect here. Post the Terry Rozier prop. Is he going to start? Does anybody over at Heat Beat know? We're waiting. Hold on. 17.5. Whoa, hold on. We'll address this on the side. We'll be right back. Hey, now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back. This Rozier thing is going to break me. I'm not going to be honest with you people. So we have his points prop, and it is posted at 17. I'll tell you this. This better win, right? Like, imagine the prop's too strong. I just wasted everybody's time talking about this long. So the prop was 17.5, against Memphis, and it was 1.5 made threes. Is that right? This would be perfect. If they hang this 1.5 made three number, folks. I mean, come on. The words of coach, folks. It looks like, all right, the points props out 17.5. Hang the made threes. We don't have the starting lineup, though. How bold of the sports book. No respect for the starting lineup. I'm checking, people. I'm checking. Someone out there is going to beat me to this. Move the number. It's going to be a whole disaster. But right now, the 17.5 is out there on Terry Rozier. I'll tell you this. If you're looking for an alt tonight, the Michael Porter Jr. prop does make a lot of sense from what I talked about. Amon is over 14.5. You could find expensive 13.5s. From what I looked at, though, he hasn't landed 14, right, in this instance, so it didn't worry as much. I'd rather... The 14.5 was minus 102. I felt more comfortable with that than 13.5 at minus 145. But when you look this season, he's coming off a game where he scored single digits and shot under 30% from the field. Four times that's happened prior to his last game out. The follow-up game, 24 points, 30 points, 17 points, 20 points. Right? Obviously averaging well over 20 a game with three out of four landing on 20. I saw that around plus 350 for 20-plus for MPJ. So I think that number makes a lot of sense. I'm going to play that 14.5, but I might escalate up on Michael. We're having a good time. Michael Porter Jr. Next. What is coming up next, though, is Joe Maddon. Going to help us get set here. Also going to get you the Davis Maddox same game parlay. It is a Thursday night on Sports Grid. Game time decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh. We will be back in less than a minute.